Let's go back over to 1 Peter tonight, please. If you'd go back there with me tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We read the chapter in its entirety this morning. And read a few verses here tonight. And try to get right back into the Word of God. What a blessing. Hey, Brother Merv. I don't think anybody else will know what I'm talking about, but I know what 200 quarters looks like now. He'll have to get his calculator out. Amen. Appreciate that, brother. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, how many knows His mercy is abundant? You know, it doesn't matter if the Lord's saving a young'un, amen, that comes under conviction, or saving somebody that's 40 years old or somebody that's 80 years old. It takes abundant mercy. Amen. And God said, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let me stop and say something the Lord just put in my heart. I don't know of this, so I know of it in my own family. When my grandparents on my mother's side died, there was a ruckus in the family. How many knows what a ruckus is? You know what it was over? It was over the inheritance. Aren't you glad, thank God, in the family of God, there won't be no ruckus over the inheritance. It's undefiled. It's reserved. It fadeth not away. Amen. God will get it just right. Amen. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I tell you, you know, tonight you lay a chunk of gold down on this corner of the pulpit and lay a trial down on this corner of the pulpit. It's not too many people you're going to get to say, this is worth more than this. But that's what the Word of God said, amen. It said it's more precious than gold, amen. Then the Bible said, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let me read one more verse over here. I'm going to be picking up on this to start in the message. So let me see if I can find it here. Look at verse number 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God that's before us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God in these years that you've allowed us to hide in us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that's around us. And Lord, we thank you that when we get home, we'll find, Lord, exactly what you said to be true, that your word will be forever settled in heaven. God, it means a lot to us now. And Lord, I believe it'll mean a lot to us then. There's some things, Lord, that are hard to be understood. But Lord, we will know all about it in the by and by. Lord, tonight I pray that you would take these truths and, Lord, use them to transform our lives. Make us more like your Son. Lord, if there's an individual here tonight that's never been born again, I pray, Lord, that tonight might be the night that they would trust the darling Savior and they would be saved by the grace of God. Lord, we pray tonight you'd strengthen your children. Help us, Lord, as a church to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I just want to say this while it's on my heart. We'll probably at some time maybe receive a card from them. And I try to give those to Brother Brian to read to the church. But Sister Helen was telling me when I came in today that their missionaries stayed here last night. They were missionaries to India. They were presenting the work at Oak Glen this morning. And I believe another church tonight. But anyway, they were really bragging on the prophet's chamber. And I just want to thank the church. Amen. See, there's lots of times you don't even know there's missionaries in and out of here. Isn't it a blessing to be able to help somebody down the road a little ways? Amen. And then help a sister church. Amen. With the room, I just thank God for it. That kind of goes along with part of the message tonight, but I'll show it to you. Let's look here tonight. We're talking about some reasons to rejoice here in 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm not going to go back over all of it, but the word rejoice, it appears twice in chapter number 1. It comes from that Greek word. It's hard for me to say it. There's an ah in there that's hard. Agaleo would be easy for me to say, but it comes from a Greek word, agaleo. Okay? And it means to jump for joy, to be exceeding glad. And Sister Tanita told me a while ago that the young lady's name I was describing this morning was Amber. That was Amber out there on the parking lot that was so thrilled, you know, and jumping for joy during the Bible school. And then in 1 Peter 4:13, it comes from a different Greek word. It means to be cheerful, to be calmly happy, to be well off. And I believe we'll see again tonight that it sometimes I'm learning as I go along. The English language really doesn't. We use the same word, rejoice, amen. But you can rejoice and be jumping for joy. And you can be rejoicing when there's not much to jump about. Say amen. Because your name is written in heaven. Because God's still on the throne. And God is in control. And that's what the Bible is teaching us. We talked about in Nehemiah, that day they offered great sacrifices. They rejoiced. God had made them to rejoice with great joy. Their wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. I think that's important that our entire family get in on rejoicing in the Lord. Now, tonight, we looked this morning at five things, I believe. No, actually four things. And we'll look at three more things tonight. We said we ought to jump up and down. We ought to rejoice. That's the word that's used in chapter number 1. We ought to rejoice because we have a Bible. I'm not going to go back over all the verses. I'm just recapping a little bit. There's some because they were involved in other ministries or maybe not here this morning. I'm just recapping a little bit. The Bible down there said the word of the Lord endureth forever in the last verse. And we ought to rejoice because we have a Bible. And then secondly, we ought to rejoice because He, our Lord Jesus, has shed His blood. Amen. That goes on in the chapter. The Bible talks about it being precious blood. And then we ought to rejoice because in verse number 8, we have believed. Yet believing, amen, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then we ought to rejoice because we have a new birth. The Bible said in verse 23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let me say something about that right there. I don't know about you, but I get up some mornings. I've made real good friends with this fellow named Arthur. Amen. I believe his middle name is Idas. Amen. I get up some mornings and I don't feel real saved. I'm glad I'm not saved by my feelings. I'm glad, thank God, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. That's the one I was born again. Amen. That's how I was saved, by the grace of God. And so that part is settled. Now tonight I want to get into about three more things here in the message. And I trust it'll bless you the way it has me, or maybe even more so tonight. It certainly has blessed my heart. Well, to rejoice, number five tonight, because we're included in the brethren. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look with me, Will, if you will, at chapter number 1 and verse number 22. The Bible said, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, and that ye love one another, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I want to make a statement tonight. Don't know that it's going on, but I know mankind. I know human nature. If we're not careful, church, listen to me tonight, we'll take one another for granted. Are you listening to me? Amen. And listen, I want us to get something tonight here from the Word of God that we ought to rejoice because we're included in the brethren. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 2 tonight. There's a precious thought here in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 2. This blew my mind this morning, as I don't know why I've never gotten a hold of it, or it didn't get a hold of me, but this morning it sure did. Look in Hebrews chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible said, but one in a certain place testified, saying, this would be, I believe it's Psalms chapter 8, if I'm not mistaken. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death. Somebody read that statement. For every man. Amen. That's why this preacher gets aggravated in his spirit if somebody teaches that Christ died for a certain few. Amen. He tasted death for every man. For God so loved the world, God gave his only begotten Son. Watch this now. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, let me ask you something tonight. Listen, you talk about something that's a little bit hard to get a hold of, but let me ask you something. Did Jesus begin in the manger? The answer to that is no. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Amen. But Jesus come down and he was born. Let me ask you this. Was he perfect when he was born? You better believe he was. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand where you're going. Was he perfect in his life? You better believe he was. Was he perfect before he was born? You better believe he was. Was he perfect in his death? Yes, he was. Was he perfect, my friend, in his resurrection? Yes, he was. Was he perfect in his ascension? Yes, he was. Well, then what could be being said here in that he's being made perfect, my friend, through the sufferings? You know what I believe? Listen to me carefully. My friend, he knows what you're going through. And he knows what I'm going through. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That did not happen till God became flesh, took on his body, a body like man. Amen. Somebody said, well, do you really believe he was a man? Oh, yes, I believe he was a man. He was weary on his journey. You really believe he was God? Oh, yes, he was God. You could never separate. Amen. But thank God tonight the Bible said he was perfect. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm talking about rejoicing because we're included in the brethren. Watch this now. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Oh, hallelujah. My friend, we're included in the brethren. Watch this now. The Bible said, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I read that and reread it and read it and reread it and read it and reread it. And I tell you, it can't say but one thing. Hallelujah. The captain is among the brethren. And I tell you, he's a singing among the brethren. Amen. He loves the brethren. And we ought to rejoice because we have the blessed privilege to be part of the brethren. Watch this now. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. Oh, hallelujah. If He was willing to be made like unto His brethren, should not the brethren be willing to be made like unto Him tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. The captain of our salvation has come. He's not ashamed of the brethren. But listen tonight. It said, for in that He Himself suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. I'll tell you tonight, there'll be times when your pastor has no idea what you're going through. But I tell you, your elder brother, the Lord Jesus, will know exactly what you're going through. I thank the Lord tonight that it's a joy and an honor, and we ought to rejoice that we're able to be counted as brethren with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah tonight. Reason to rejoice. Because we're included in the brethren. I want to say this tonight. God help me. I said, God help me. God help me not to take my brethren for granted. God help me to love the brethren. God help me to pray for the brethren. The Bible said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. God help me to count it an honor to be among the brethren. Amen. Hallelujah tonight. What a joy and what rejoicing, what jumping up and down ought to be going on in our hearts. Amen. Because we're included among the brethren. I'll say this tonight. There are a lot of people, I believe it might have been Brother Gale this morning, he said to me, he said, preacher, I'm way past jumping up and down. Well, let me just say something right there, amen. And I understand that. I'm way past a lot of things I do too, amen. I guarantee it, amen. That made me think, Brother Gale, about the little boy. The little boy that was in the truck seat with his daddy. And his daddy said, sit down, son. And the little boy just kept standing there. He said, son, I said, sit down. Little boy just kept standing there. He said, son, I'm not telling you again. It's going to be bad news. Sit down. The little boy sat down. He looked over at his daddy and he said, daddy, he said, I'm sitting down on the outside. But he said, I'm still standing up on the inside. You know what I believe tonight? You might not be able to jump on the outside. But glory to God, if there's some jumping going on the inside, it'll be all right. We ought to praise His holy name tonight. Amen. He's worthy just to be counted among the brethren. And to know He's not ashamed of the brethren. He shows up with the brethren. What a blessing that is tonight. Well, let's move on. Amen. We got somewhere else to go in this chapter here. Jumping up and down, rejoicing. Well, we got a Bible to rejoice, the blood to rejoice in. We've believed. We've got a new birth. We've got the brethren. It's hard to believe all this is in one little chapter in the Word of God. But let me show you something else here. I'm not done yet. The number six. We ought to jump up and down. You're not going to get this right away. But the Bible said in verse number six, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be. Now that's important. Did you ever wonder why some of God's people, now I'm not talking about sinners and God's people now, I'm talking about God's people, I'm talking about all God's people. Is it not true that some of God's people seem to get through life with a whole lot less trials and tribulation than others? Say amen right there. I mean, did you ever wonder why it's dealt the way that it is? You know what I mean? Well, I read a little statement right there that I believe would help us if need be. Guess what? God knows what we need. I mean, I've said this, and one of the easiest ways to illustrate it is with money. But God knows who can handle money, and God knows who money will handle them. Say amen right there. So we're better off as being brethren just to leave it up to the Lord. Amen. The Bible said, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. You say, preacher, what's that next thing you want to talk about here? We ought to jump up and down. We ought to rejoice. Here's why we ought to rejoice. Listen to me carefully right here. It won't make sense for a minute, but you'll stay with me. It will. We ought to rejoice because we're in a battle. We ought to rejoice because this world ain't got a hold of us, squeezed us in its mold. Say amen. We ought to rejoice because we're in a battle. The Word of God tells us, my friend, listen, that the battle is the Lord's. David told him, said, listen, God don't save with a sword. God don't save with a spear. The battle's the Lord's, and God wants others to know, amen, that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul said, thanks be to God, which causes us always to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody wrote a song several years ago, and it basically, I think, I don't remember all the words, but from what I can remember about it, it's basically pertaining to the child of God at the end of the way. And the song is, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I'll still have my Jesus each passing day. I guess it fits both ways, amen? But I'm going to just say something about the battle tonight. Listen to me carefully. How many of you know that every once in a while, because of our stinking flesh and because of our stinking weaknesses in this flesh, we lose a battle every once in a while? Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I've done read where we win the war. Hallelujah. I done read the last chapter in the last book, and God's people win. Amen. And we ought to rejoice tonight. Listen, you say, well, preacher, you believe we ought to rejoice because there's a battle? Oh, yes. We ought to rejoice because, my friend, we're not in the world. We're not of the world. We're not like the world. There ought to be a battle going on between us and the world. Amen. I was talking on Wednesday night about them churches in Houston. I believe there's six of them. I was talking to Brother John, I think, along about Friday, and he said, they've retracted those statements. Amen. Well, what about that? Let me ask you this. You think they'd retract them if they could get by with it? No. Let me ask you this. Think they'll try it again? Mark her down. Say amen right there. Oh, they're not finished. They're just seeing what they can get by with. Amen. But I want you to know, thank God, I'm rejoicing tonight because I'm among the brethren. I'm rejoicing tonight because we're in a battle. A battle. Let me ask you a question. Are your children worth fighting for? Are your grandchildren worth fighting for? Ask you a question. Is old time religion worth fighting for? Ask you a question. Is this old Bible worth fighting for? Amen. Hallelujah. I said, water rejoice. Because we're in a battle. Tonight, the Bible's teaching us here in the battle. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you go over to Ephesians chapter number 6, I'm not going to turn there. But the Bible will tell you that be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, what are you trying to say here, preacher? It looks to me like a major nutrient, a major ingredient for rejoicing and for joy, are you listening to me tonight, is God's strength. Looks to me like God's strength is a major nutrient and a major ingredient in order to have joy. In other words, they couple up. They go hand in hand. You say, preacher, what should we do when we're weak? I tell you a good thing to do after studying 1 Peter chapter number 1. Rejoice! Rejoice! I believe some strength will come if we'll just rejoice in the good things of God. Oh, beloved friend, tonight, we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice in the good things of God tonight. We ought to jump up and down. Listen, Philippians 4:4 said, rejoice in the Lord always. Listen to me carefully tonight. I think there's something right here. I may have touched on this morning. I'm not sure. My memory's not real good. But the Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I believe that's Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. You want to guess which Greek word was used? Number one was the word jump up and down, be exceeding glad. I'm not saying that Greek word, especially without reading it. Amen. Number two word was the word to be calmly happy. Amen. Well-being, to be well off. That's what it means. And you want to guess which one of those words was used in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4? Anybody want to guess? Would it be word number one, jump up and down always? Or would it be that other one, always? How many believes it'd be that second one? You're right. God knew we wouldn't always be jumping up and down. Say amen right there. But God knew what Job said. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. I mean, we're having a good time jumping up to get the pills before we leave out of here, ain't we? Amen. Trying to get up there where we can reach us something to take. Brother Mays Jackson said everybody wants to go to heaven and then they get up every morning and stay a little longer pill. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But the Bible is so exact. Brother Brian, it blessed me. I just had to, when I studied this, go over and see which word God used. It's so precise. It's so exact. God knew we couldn't be jumping up and down all the time. Let me just go ahead and say this. Let me fire this shot out over the bow. If the Lord lets us live, lets us stay together as a people, there'll be some dark days around here too. Oh, thank God for the days we can jump up and down, Brother Wayne, but it won't all be jumping up and down. Amen. But in our heart, there still ought to be some rejoicing going on because our name is written in heaven. Because we're brethren. Because we have a Bible. Because the blood has been applied in our heart and in our life. Well, let me get this last thing. I hope that made sense to you. It sure did to me. I hope I made sense out of it. It blessed me so. Listen tonight. The last thing I want to give you is we ought to jump up and down. Because we have a blessed hope. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look here with me in chapter number 1. Verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Now, if you study that word right there, and I've not studied it in years, but it just simply means it's living. It's not a dead hope. The hope that we have, it's not like the world, well, I hope so-and-so will come over, or I hope I get this for Christmas. Oh, no. As a matter of fact, if you'll read Romans chapter number 8, the word hope and the word faith are used just like that. They're actually synonyms for one another. We have a living hope. We have a living faith. We have a blessed hope. That's what Peter is saying here. And he's saying, because of that, we ought to rejoice. He said, to an inheritance. He's begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me just give you something real quickly. Three little things right here and I'll be done. You could preach all night on the blessed hope. Amen. On the return of Jesus. But look at verse 14. I'm trying to stay in the chapter tonight. First of all, this blessed hope deals with our past. Look at verse number 14. It says, I'm not going to read the first part of the verse. I'm going to pick up with the word not. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, plural, in your ignorance. How many could associate with that for just a minute? So the blessed hope deals with our past. That's what makes it such a blessing. Thank God I'm going to get out of this thing my friend called this body of flesh. Amen. Thank God I'm going to get out of these memories because of things that have been sown. Thank God I'm going to be delivered completely from that. Amen. My soul and my spirit has already been delivered. But I'm afraid there's stuff hanging around in this body that's not been delivered yet. But thank God it will. It will. It'll be delivered. Not only does it deal with our past. Watch this. This is important. The blessed hope deals with our present. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, in verse number 14, that's okay. I'll get to that in a minute. In verse number 14, look at the word. It says, obedient children. You believe that's supposed to be now or in heaven? That's now. That's our present. Obedient children. Look at verse number, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or behavior, your way of life, your manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, preacher, we're supposed to be obedient children. We are. We're supposed to be holy children. Can I get an amen tonight? And then look at verse number 17. Therefore, that's the book of James. I better turn over. Verse number 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, he said, pass the time of your sojourning here. What's them last two words? We're supposed to pass the time of our sojourning here, right now, in the present, in fear. How many believes the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Amen. And you say, preacher, you mean the blessed hope will help us to know how to live right now? How many believes that? Listen to what the Bible said. But the grace of God that brings salvation. How many's glad the grace of God brought salvation? Teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And that we should live righteously and soberly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did it say over there? 1 John chapter 3. Beloved. Let's see. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Let me say this tonight. I'm going to try to say it in love. I'm going to try to say it kindly. I'll put myself first. I am not satisfied with my level of purity. So that means there's something still to work at in my heart and in my life. Amen. I've not yet attained, Paul said. I know that my soul is as white as the driven snow. I've been washed in the blood. But my friend, I believe if you're 8 or 80, we should never get to the place where we're satisfied. Want to be more like him, more like him, more like him, until one day we step off on that shore and we're exactly like him. Amen. By the way, I don't know who the individual in this church is that's walking the closest to the Lord. I don't know who it is. But I'll say this. If you're the one, you don't know it either. Because the closer you get to him, the more you see needs to be addressed in your life and in your heart. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, the blessed hope, it deals with my past. But thank God the blessed hope deals with my future. But thank God the blessed hope deals, my friend, with the present and the future. Watch this now. Watch this tonight. I thought this was interesting. You say, preacher, where do you get the future? Look in verse number 5. Watch this now. I think this is This is good. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in. Somebody tell me those next two words. The last time. How many believes it's the last time? You say, preacher, what's going to happen? You know. Jesus is coming. Watch this. Look at verse number 9. I'm trying to shut her down. I don't know what time it is, but I'm trying to shut her down. In verse number 9, look at this. Receiving the end. See, God's got something to say about my past. God's got something to say about my present. But God's also got something to say about the last time, the end, my future. Amen. Out there. Amen. The blessed hope deals with all three. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, if you would, look at verse number 13. The Bible said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. Isn't that something? How many believes Peter, some way or another in his heart, knew that he wasn't long for this world? He knew the end was getting close. I don't know who the next one among the brethren will be. My prayer is that it'll be a collective gathering. That our Lord will step out on that cloud. He won't have to say Bible Way, youngins. He won't have to say Tabernacle, youngins. He won't have to say, I'm trying to remember the name of a few of the churches. What's Brother J.W.'s church's name? He won't have to say Homeland, youngins. Somebody name another church. He won't have to say Oak Glen, youngins. He won't have to say Landmark, youngins. When he says out, oh, glory, it's just going to be youngins. Come on home, amen. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not Bible Way youngins anyway. We're His youngins. We've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. And because we're brethren, because we have a blessed hope, because we're in a battle, we ought to jump for joy. Amen. We might be sitting down on the outside, but we ought to be jumping up and down on the inside. Amen. Boy, it wouldn't have done for my boy to told me that. I believe I'd have been adjusted on the inside. I don't know how old my boy was. He either still had on some of them thick, like training pants or a diaper one. He's old enough to talk. I grabbed him by the shoulder and I popped him on the bottom. I said, stop it, son. Bad mistake he made. He looked up at me and said, that didn't hurt. Bad mistake. Bad mistake. Little old lilac bush out there at the end of the porch. I went and got three of them little keen switches. I like what that black man said a while back on the news. He said, while whooping a young'un with a switch, send a man to jail. He said 2/3 of the population in the South would be in jail. Amen. Now, I do believe that parent, that particular parent, went overboard. Amen. I don't believe we'll all be whooping and singing It's Still the Blood at the same time. Say amen. But I'll tell you this. Our Lord, He loves us. And this blessed hope that we have ought to cause us to jump up and down and rejoice. That's the way the word is used. In the battle, if you go over there to the fourth chapter, I believe it's the 13th verse, when he talks about the fiery trials, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, but rejoice in as much as you're made partakers of His suffering. That second word is used right there, that calm, that inner joy. Amen. You say whatever you want to. Ain't none of us jumping too high when we're suffering. Ain't none of us jumping too high. Brother Brian, you're bound to see it every day of your life working in the hospitals. Families coming with their head down. Doctors come out of an operating room with their head down. We ain't always jumping up and down on the outside. But God would say to us tonight, youngins, let's see to it that we don't let anything stop the jumping on the inside. that calm, that peace, that assurance. We're doing well. Who was it? Somebody help me. I'm not trying to be smart, but over there in the Old Testament, was it the Shunammite woman whose son, my head, is that right? Does anybody know? Is that right, Brother Grizzle? Thank you, brother. My mind don't work too good. But you remember when Elijah, was it Elijah or Elisha? It was Elijah, said, is it well? You know what she said, glory to God? This is a perfect illustration. She said, it is well. It wasn't a bit well if you was looking at it from the human side, but she had got a hold of the man of God. She had got a hold of the God of heaven, and she knew it was well by faith. She knew it was well. Elijah went in, laid down on that young, and you remember that, don't you? Boy, you need to read them Old Testament stories. They're precious. Laid down on that young, and his life come back in him. He said, what was that? It's a miracle. Just like when you throw a stick in the water and a piece of steel, an axe head floats. What was that? That's a miracle. Amen. What is it when a man gets saved by the grace of God? It's a miracle. What is it? Somebody tell me, what is it when you can be in a deep, dark, lonesome valley and still have the joy of the Lord in your heart? I'll tell you what it is. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? I believe 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter would say to us, rejoice. Rejoice. Lots to rejoice about. I know I didn't get it all, but I got what the Lord gave me this time. I'll go through it again one day, and I'll guarantee you He'll give me something else. That's just the way He is. Amen. The next time I go through it, I should be at a different spiritual level than I was this time when I went through it. I'm supposed to be growing in grace and in the knowledge. I'll say this. I hope I never grow out of rejoicing. I hope I never get over Calvary. I hope I never get over the brethren. I hope I never get over my Bible, get over the blood, get over the precious, blessed hope. Hope I never get over the fact that, Brother David, it is an honor just to be in the battle. Thank God. I'm on the right side. Amen. Amen. I'm on the right side, on the winning side. Somebody said, the Lord's on my side. Well, I know what you mean, but it'd be better to say you're on His. He is the captain. Say amen. He is the captain. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love You tonight. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the brethren. Thank You for our Bible. Thank You for the precious blood. Thank You, Lord, that though we're in a battle, we've already read the last chapter. Help us to purify ourselves. Help us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Help us, God, that we might, Lord, look for the glorious appearing, long for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray tonight that You'd help us. Lord, though now, for a season, if need be, You're in heaviness. Help us, Lord, when we're in heaviness, to rejoice in the fact that we won't be there long. Lord, there'll be no more heaviness where we're going. There'll be no more trials where we're going. Lord, I thank God You'll wipe all tears away from our eyes. Lord, the precious families, we've already been able to witness the grace of God in their lives. Help us, Lord, to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Help us, Lord, when we can't track You, when we don't know what You're up to or what You're doing, help us to trust You. God, we love You tonight.